sisters and brothers, mercy is yours today from God our Creator, from Jesus our Savior, and from the Holy Spirit who breathes life in and among us. Amen. A couple of Mondays ago on our day off, John and I ventured out to ride around our bikes around the bike trail. We had just made our way north of the downtown area, out of the downtown area, and we were passing under the 6th Street Bridge when we saw a woman lying face down beside the trail. It was an ominous sight, particularly for late in the morning on a Monday. We stopped and got off our bikes and tried gradually shouting louder and louder to see if the woman would respond. We could tell she was breathing, luckily, but she was not flinching at our voices or at John's gentle touches to her shoulder. We called 911 and the paramedics arrived in fairly short order. I am not the hero of this story. I am not the Good Samaritan. For one thing, Samaritans in the context of Jesus' story were despised others. They were a hated minority, and in this setting this morning, I am not a minority. Among most people here, I do not represent a despised other. I am not the Good Samaritan. For another thing, if I or we had truly followed the example of the Samaritan in this morning's story, if we had actually gone and done likewise as Jesus commands, we would have followed the woman to the hospital and then paid off her medical bills. But we didn't. When the paramedics put her on a stretcher destined for a hospital, we got back on our bikes destined for the rest of the trail. I am not the hero of this story. I'm not the Good Samaritan. Also, because a common interpretation of today's parable would argue that John and I should have probed deeper into the scene. We shouldn't have just called 911, but also wondered why we needed to call 911 in the first place, especially after we could see the woman's face and know she was a Native American woman, and further yet, when we heard the paramedics report a substantial blood alcohol content. We should have wondered what factors in this woman's life, what social and cultural dynamics led her to be passed out under the 6th Street Bridge on a Monday morning. What abuse and trauma maybe lie in her past, leading her to drink in the first place? But we didn't go deeper. We didn't ask these questions. We didn't follow up with the woman. We did not pay off her debts on Monday or make sure she was okay for Tuesday and for Wednesday. Further proof that I am not the hero of this story. But I've been wondering this past week if perhaps that is not the goal, not Jesus' goal for you and I, to hear the parable of the Good Samaritan and then to set out to be heroes, which is so often our goal in response to hearing the story, to be the Good Samaritan. So often we think the point of the story is to be the one who does the right thing, the one who doesn't pass by and neglect someone in need. Of course, there's no inherent danger in that interpretation. Certainly being encouraged to do good works in the name of Jesus is a good thing. And yet, in the face of my own gross shortcomings as a do-gooder, in recognizing that I will never be as compassionate as the Samaritan, I have to wonder if there might be another word in this story for me and for you. That perhaps the story isn't about me and my acts of mercy and about you and yours, which will always fall short, which will never be enough. But perhaps the story is about God and God's acts of mercy. Maybe this well-known parable is not a story for would-be heroes, not a parable for the powerful. Maybe it's a story of weakness, a parable for the ditches. Maybe it's not a story telling us to be the heroes, but a story reminding us of God's mercy, which is always stronger than our heroism. And maybe it's a reminder that sometimes God's mercy comes from unexpected people. Well, at this point in Luke's gospel, Jesus has recently sent out the 70 to share God's peace and to heal and receive hospitality in the name of Jesus. and the disciples have returned with joy. Shortly after the sending and returning, Jesus is teaching a crowd, and an unnamed lawyer stands up. He asks Jesus, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And like a good rabbi, Jesus responds to the question with a question, a test right back to the lawyer. "Well, what's written in the law?" he asks. "What do you read there?" And the lawyer answers like a good confirmation student. "Well, of course, the law says you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your strength and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus says, "That's right. Do this and you will live." It could be the end of the exchange, but the lawyer probes further. "And about that neighbor part, Jesus, who is my neighbor?" Again, Jesus doesn't give a straight answer, and instead he tells this story. An unidentified man is at a tense border crossing. Jesus says he's walking from Jerusalem to Jericho, and along the way he is beaten by robbers and left for dead. And then a priest walks upon the man, a pastor, a good church leader. And instead of helping, the priest passes by to the other side of the road. And next, a Levite, a good man of faith, also comes upon the man. But he too crosses the road to avoid him. But then a Samaritan arrives, a Samaritan, an enemy of the Jews, an other, the ultimate them in us versus them, the last person anyone would expect to be the hero of the story, a Samaritan. A Samaritan shows up. The Samaritan sees the man lying on the side of the road and has compassion for him. He bandages the man's wounds and treats them with oil and wine. And then he hoists the man onto his own animal and guides the animal and the man to a nearby inn for the man's shelter and healing. But he does not stop there. The following day, the Samaritan returns to the innkeeper to pay for the man's stay. He bids the innkeeper to continue caring for the man, and he promises that he will return to pay him for any care he provides. And now Jesus asks the lawyer, which of these three individuals was a neighbor to the man who was beaten and left on the side of the road? Was it the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan? And the lawyer correctly answers, the one who showed mercy to the man, that is, the Samaritan. The other, the most unexpected bearer of God's mercy. "Yes," Jesus says, "so now go and do likewise." Now note the lawyer's original question was, "Who is my neighbor?" That is, to whom should I direct my good works? Who should benefit from my acts of mercy, Jesus? But Jesus flips the question. He tells a story that answers a different question, the question of who is being a neighbor, or from whom are you called to receive the mercy of God? Jesus flips the question, and he flips the direction of neighborliness. In this case, the neighbor isn't the one in need of our help. The neighbor is the one who sees our need for help. The neighbor is the one who brings God's mercy to us. In answering the question, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus challenges the lawyer to recognize his own need for a neighbor, to see the ditch into which he has fallen. Perhaps in this case, it's the ditch of self-righteousness, or the ditch of thinking faith is just about a prescribed set of rules or just an intellectual exercise. And so today, Jesus challenges us too to recognize our own need for a neighbor, to see the ditches into which we have fallen, perhaps the ditch of grief or addiction, the ditch of anxiety or fear, the ditch of never thinking we're good enough, the societal ditches of partisanship and racism and homophobia that make us expect the worst of our neighbors we deem other, that keep us from receiving mercy from our neighbors. Maybe we've fallen into the ditch of individualism that says we don't need a hand from anyone else, thank you very much. The ditch of apathy that says going and doing likewise never makes a difference anyway. Late this past week, a woman had come to me, had called Spirit of Joy for some financial assistance, and I found myself ill-equipped to handle the particular circumstance. I didn't know which resources to recommend to this woman. I found myself in a ditch of suspicion about her need and her strategies, and in a ditch of lacking resources to respond. I was nearly frozen in my ditches when I called an individual in town who is far more acquainted with the relevant resources in our city. He gave me some tools to share with the woman, some possibilities I could relay to her. And at the end of this phone call, my phone call with this man, I thanked him for his help, for meeting me in my ditch. And it's then when he happened to mention the church to which he belongs. I know what this church is, and I know by the name of it that it's a church that does not ordain women, and in fact does not allow women to serve in any type of governing leadership capacity. And only then, when suddenly this man became a dreaded other to me, I thought to myself, I never needed your help. Only then I knew for certain that he was patronizing me with his biblical references to the poor. Like, oh, so you think I don't know the Bible? And then I stored up some biblical references to throw right back at him. You know, the ones you only learn in seminary. Only then did I start to reach for my framed Master of Divinity diploma, ready to, I don't know, start reading it off. Only then, when this man became the dreaded other, did I completely lose sight of my need for help. And needless to say, only then did I completely forget that the whole thing was supposed to be about the woman who first reached out to me from her ditch. Once again, I was not the hero of the story. I was not the Good Samaritan. But thanks be to God, the parable of the Good Samaritan is not about me and my mercy, or about you and yours. The story is about the mercy of God. It's about a God who shows up to me and to another woman in our needs through a guy who might think I shouldn't be a pastor. It's about a God who comes to us even through the other, a God eternally bent on finding us in our ditches, a God who reaches God's hand to us through the most unexpected neighbors, and a God who tells us to go and do likewise. Thanks be to God.